Good morning. It's Sunday, September 4th.
Well, Lord, we ask for your blessing on our service today. We ask that you be here among us, O Lord, that your spirit would flow, that your truth, your light, O Lord, would be here in a great abundance, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, that you would be here in great abundance by your spirit. Lord, that you would enlighten the minds of our spirit or whatever gets enlightened. We ask that be enlightened, Lord, that we would be able to speak your truths, not the smart things that natural man come up with, but your truths. And Lord, that we would have ears to receive your truth, O Lord. If there be something imperfect in what is expressed, O Lord, we ask our spirit would make the correction, as it were, and that we would have a full and good, complete, right understanding of your truths by your spirit. Do that good work. Amen.
Amen.
I have something I would like to share. We had the Bible running here, and it was in the 8th chapter of Romans, which is a very good chapter. on Thursday at our men's meeting, we were one of the kind of themes that we were talking about was that. Oh my, our own, we just do not come up to snuff. We don't come up to snuff in what we should be up to. You know, what we just fall way short. And I was listening to Romans 8 in connection with that. And of course, Romans 8 follows Romans 7. Which Paul talks about how all the things that we should be doing, we don't, and all the things that we should not be doing, we do, and all that. And he asks, how are we going to get out of this jam? How are we going to get out of this jam? And Romans 8 just gives such a wonderful answer. Oh my, it's such a wonderful answer to that question. No. It's not our own good, whatever behavior, good, doing things right stuff. It is His grace, His looking after the ones that He has chosen for no reason we can think of. And it is so encouraging, you know? Of course we fall seriously short. Of course we don't deserve it. Deserve has nothing to do with it, you know? We'd be tempted to boast if we deserved it. We don't deserve it. And as Keith was pointing out here on Thursday, you know, there's the scripture, I don't know where it is, talks about that we're in this sojourning, this life, the journey of our life, in fear. And fear is right. It's right that we should be fearful because if we think in terms of what we deserve, yeah, fear. Be fearful. But Romans 8 is kind of the answer to that scripture about this sojourn in fear because his grace is just, despite all the circumstances, despite all the ways that we're nothing but clay. Despite all that, His goodness will see us through. Neither height nor depth, nor, you know, all that litany of things that will keep us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And it was just good. It was good to hear that. And let me encourage you sometime to maybe this week to read that 8th chapter of Romans. You know, especially if you're feeling a little prone to discouragement and whatever. That 8th chapter of Romans is just such a really encouraging, good thing. So.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Read 1 Thessalonians at home before I came, but then when I got here, I had to go into 2 Thessalonians, and it kind of, I thought, was a little fitting for what's probably coming, and is started already in the world, and that is tribulation. You know?
I never thought of that.
But it's like there's such a great promise. Let's see. Yeah, let me read it here. Where should I start? Okay, I'll start in 4:16. Wait a minute, that's not where I want to be. I want to be in 2 Thessalonians, not 1st. Yeah, actually, that part there is really good, too, because it talks about the Lord coming and you know, the dead rise with him, and so will we.
It's just bonus scripture, right?
Yeah. Okay, so.
Second Thessalonians.
In 4?
No, that was first Thessalonians.
I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Sorry.
Why doesn't have that?
2 Thessalonians, chapter 1.
All right.
I'm going to start in 3. I might read a ways, but we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. Now, this is Paul talking to the Thessalonians. As it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God, now this is what's good. You might suffer, but with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction. And I caught this again. You know, everlasting destruction, and you know what it is? From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You won't know his presence, which is destruction. You know? When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe. Because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm,
yeah. And then, of course, we know if you go on in chapter 2 is the one scripture that we quote a lot, and that's 2:10. 10. First it says in 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Well, I was kind of uplifted by that. And then when Charlie brought what he did, that really, really helped. You know? Of course, we don't want to take advantage of his grace, but oh, thank goodness that it's there. You know?
No, we shouldn't take advantage. On the other hand, we should take advantage.
Yeah, I guess you're right. In a sense, yes. Yeah, I guess taking advantage isn't wrong necessarily. It's misusing it or
there's a wrong way.
Yeah, there's a wrong way. To act thinking you'll keep getting grace, you know. But there's that key thing. If you're at all concerned about where you're at, then you're where you're at is good. You know?
I often try to explain the grace paradox with if you are sinning and you know you're sinning and you choose to sin anyways and say, but grace will cover me, I think that's when you've gone down a slippery slope. I mean, we all sin and sometimes we don't want to sin and we want grace to cover us. But it's when you know or choose and say, I'm okay because God's grace will cover me in this decision. I think that's the abuse of
grace. Actually, if you go to read chapter 8, like Charlie said, read 7 first.
Right.
You know, because that's exactly what Corky's saying. We don't want to sin, but we do, and the things we want to do, we don't do. And then at the end, he says, and then you go into chapter 8. Thank goodness, therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
You know, Corky, it's a slippery slope on going ahead and choosing what you know and figure, well, God's grace will cover me and whatever. Hey, I can do that. I can do that, you know.
That's your MO.
Yeah, it kind of is, you know. I that's not the whole story, I mean, but it is. I dare not, you know. I must not tell you that it's not there. It's there. It's there. Like the hymn says, I'm without one plea. Without one plea, you know. I am without one plea.
You know, I'm glad you played that this morning. I really love that hymn. And it's saying so much of what we've been receiving. And so, you know what? We can say God's truth is marching on.
Amen.
You know? And it was a tremendous way to put it. And that was quite some time ago that the guy wrote it. You know?
Yeah. It was. In addition to the spiritual side, it was kind of nod to 9/11.
Right.
Yeah.
I knew that. That's probably why. Okay. But that's a tremendous,
it's a powerful song.
It is a powerful song.
The song I loved with the chord to play this morning was the one, Be Glad for Every Debt That I Ever Did Have Was Paid Up in Full through the grace of our God.
Yeah.
Be glad for that.
Yeah, I was thinking, I should have that hymn and have my grandsons listen to that. I doubt if they've ever heard it. You know? Just see what effect it would have.
I watched a movie on Tubi yesterday about Mercy Me, the song I Can Only Imagine, his life story. If you get a chance to watch it, watch it. It is full of grace and mercy and restoration his whole life.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I've seen that same thing.
Oh, I cried.
It's about the guy who wrote the song.
I Can Only Imagine.
Can Only Imagine.
And that's the name of the movie.
There's an amazing God involved backstory on that whole.
Yeah, he was abused as a child by his father.
And you have to understand how hard it is to get music played. There's just several things. And this was inspired. He got this song was inspired, and he got a big name. He said, "This song has got to get out." And he had a big time performer who was going to sing it. And spoiler alert, he's there, and she's going to sing it. And just before she sings a song, she stops her concert and tells him to come out and to sing his song. I Can Only Imagine.
Grant,
and gave the song back to him, but gave him the platform.
Yeah.
And it launched his whole career, and the Lord has blessed him in multiple ways. There's I Can Only Imagine Productions, and it's just an amazing.
But his father also was restored.
Yes.
Oh, really?
To his faith. And him and his father were reconciled. And his mother, who left him, abandoned him. It's an amazing story. I cried through the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a family movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you played that this morning, I thought, I'm going to cry again. But if you get a chance, it was on Tubi is where I watched it.
We actually have the video.
Oh, do you? Oh,
yeah.
His story is amazing.
Yeah. For the DVD, not video. Oh, my gosh.
Video?
I know.
Video.
Oh,
yeah, right?
Oh.
Jesus. You got an 8-track?
Yeah.
So it's a CD.
No, I think it's the actual.
It is a DVD.
Yeah, CD would be audio, DVD would be the audio.
Not
a
Yeah.
No. But not a tape.
Okay. Anyway, very, very good story on restoration. True story.
Mm. Yeah, and you see that, and then you ever ask yourself, is God really working around us? And you see this story, and you go, clearly He is.
Absolutely.
And just in ways we just
even
don't.
When He wasn't willing, God was working in Him.
Yeah.
It's just
actually, I tend to play this song probably a little bit more because I know the story.
Yeah.
It's
well, I listen to the words to the song even more after, watching the movie because it was dedicated to his father. And, I mean, the words are wonderful, but when you know the story, they're even more, it's. I don't know. I can't imagine. But with God, we can.
Well, speaking of stories, and this isn't my story. This is a story that I heard. A friend works at public schools, and she was helping a teacher in the fourth grade. And it was a teacher she hadn't worked with very much. And she also had a new student who had just moved here, at the beginning of the school year. And they were finishing up their art projects just before recess. And all of a sudden, she heard somebody go, "Oh, Jesus." And she's going, "Okay, is that a bad Jesus or a good Jesus?" And what do I have to do? And she kind of looked up at the teacher, waiting for, what is this teacher going to do? The teacher kept doing her work, never looked up. And all of a sudden, she went over by, and it's this new boy who had come to the school. And what he was doing was he was telling all the kids that ever since his dad accepted Jesus in his heart, his whole, He said, my household is so much happier. And he went on, and he's telling all these kids about how his dad took Jesus into his heart, and their home life is so much happier. My mom and dad are happier. We as a family are happier. And my friend kept looking over at the teacher, waiting, because we're not supposed to talk about this. You know, this is public school. And kept looking at her, and finally she looked up and said, you guys can just keep on talking. We're almost ready for recess. And my friend is sitting there, she's going, and she's praying at this point because she's, God, what's going on? And this, and some of the kids turned to him and said, who's Jesus? And he said, oh, Jesus is, and he went on and said, the Son of God, and he's, and he really, he likes all of us, and we're Christian, and they're going, what's Christian? And he was like a little evangelist, and this helper is watching this going on, going, God, what are you doing? And one of the kids asked this little boy and said, well, what if you don't, like, want to believe in Jesus, like, right now? Is it okay? And the little boy goes, oh, that's what's great about Jesus, is he just loves you no matter what. And this little fourth grader was leading a whole group of kids. And the teacher never said anything. And then they were dismissed to go out for recess. And my friend was bawling at this point. Because she's like, I can't believe I just experienced this. And it was from a little child shall lead them. And it was very, when I heard the story, I was very impacted. Yeah. And just wanted to share it because it's, you never know when your grandson is going to hear something from another, because this boy was so impacted. We don't know anything about his life before. I mean, you can imagine it could have been a really rotten situation, and now his life was totally changed because his dad had given his heart to the Lord, and it just changed their whole family dynamics. And just, he was so happy, he just wanted to share with everybody, and God made the way for him to do it. And the teacher never, and my friend was like, I'm not sure if she ever really heard or just chose to not. But it was, anyways, it was just impacting. So I wanted to share it.
Was it Miss W?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Was it?
Was it Miss W?
The lady you said you knew worked at her field?
No, she just said us school her.
Yeah.
No, but she knew one of the old workers at her
school. Right, that was Corky's sister. This is a different school.
Oh.
But yeah, but thanks. Yeah.
Way to try and sluice it up, though.
Well, maybe the Lord just put on the teacher's heart to keep quiet.
Yeah.
Because he was going to do it no matter what she did.
Yeah. Because he was just so excited. And being, he was brand new.
Yeah.
But so excited because his life.
Being bold enough to share.
We don't know what his life was like. You know.
It was probably a pretty dramatic change for him to be wanting to talk about it.
Yeah, so much.
Yeah.
Well, in my experience working in childcare, I mean, when you have a child that excited, it's so hard to stop them. It's like, and especially if they're new, it's like you want them to be accepted. So it's like, just keep going, okay? You know, I've never had that much of an experience before.
But
yeah, well, and they're working now.
Yeah,
the girls I work with, they're not religious, and the difference I feel, I'm just like, I actually feel pity for you girls because you're always complaining and whining about life and no one's ever happy. And I'm like, I am so blessed that I have Jesus because I'm like, this, I cannot live like that. That's just miserable. And there's one girl I work with and I was appalled. I worked with her on Friday the first time and she was asking me religious questions. She was just curious. And I'm like, oh my God, you're the smarter one out of all these guys. Okay.
But it was good
already. Huh?
Yeah. So I was just like, yeah, because when I work there and I get kind of frustrated with the other girls who are whining, complaining, I'm just like, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God, and it just, I just tune them out then. Very helpful.
So maybe the Lord's placed you there.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to wonder about. That is what I thought too. I was like, no, God, I said,
never know.
For a reason, something.
There's for a reason.
There's always a reason.
I just tell her, I like, keep leading by example.
Yes.
Eventually, they're going to come to you and be like, why are you so content?
Why are you different? What is it about you that doesn't make you frustrated?
Because it worked on me with that guy in my unit. So.
Yeah.
I wanted what he had, superstardom, and he said it wasn't me, it's the Lord. I just did it. I do what he instructs me to do. And he said, it's exhausting. It's worth it. I'm like, yeah, it's good. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But blessings.
You know, we're so used to the phrase, good news. You know, the gospel is the good news. We've heard it for decades. But, you know, you think of that term. Good news, hey, use it in a different context. And you got something, first of all, it's news. It's not old, you know, it's not been around for decades. It's news. And it is good. Good news. When you have good news, that really is good. Mm-hmm. And so if we were to think of the good news of the gospel as being good news, good news.
Good news.
Which sounds like what that kid was, you know, he had some good news with those kids.
Good news.
You know? Let's put some content into that phrase, good news.
That was.
Because it is. It's good news. Good news. Best news there is.
By a 9-year-old.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
In a public school.
Out of the mouth of babes.
Yeah.
Well, it impacted his life so much, it made his home life must have taken a drastic change that he wanted to share that with everybody. But most of the kids, like you said, didn't know what's a Christian, who's Jesus. And he was like, oh, you know.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Jesus said the fields are white under harvest.
I can only pray that he keeps that enthusiasm, and I think he will, because it sounds like his father was a very large impact in his life.
And I think if we live the way Jesus wants us to, the way God wants us to, people are going to want it, and they're going to come.
Right.
We don't be having to go and force anything down anybody's throats because they're going to want it so desperately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like with you, they're going to want it.
They're going to go, what?
That's what I remind myself too, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I read about this church all the time and people are like, oh, that sounds great, but yet I don't ever see them show up.
I know, but it's the fact that you're impacting, you know, what's different about you? Why aren't you upset about this?
It's a seed.
Yeah.
A seed that's being planted.
Yeah. Because it's easy to fall on that train of like, oh, fine. I'm going to be complaining and grumping is a lot easier than
being
and it's only because that's what we were used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But when you look at the opposite way, going having the Lord Jesus and having Jesus in your heart, you're like, this is really much easier. You know,
right.
Because everything takes a positive instead of a negative.
It's not as tiring.
No.
It's not as turned into an inconvenience.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened to those bracelets that say, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was so true. What would Jesus do?
Without knowing anything about the situation, and if you're related it accurately, which you probably are, I'm sure you are, My guess is the teacher is saying, preach it.
No.
You know?
Maybe she was listening.
She was saying, she was thinking, it's, my sentiment's exactly, preach it.
Yeah.
But she couldn't get away with it where he could.
Yeah. But you don't know the ramifications going, a parent coming back and saying, why was my son or daughter having to listen to this, and then the complaints and stuff. So it's just like, you know, you just want to pray, like, Lord, just have your hand in that whole situation and make it just be that the kids really just soaked it in and they're not going to complain at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it will definitely be interesting conversation, Phil, at night when the kids go home and ask.
Yeah, I know.
Yep. But most of the time they just tell the kids to do that, and if you tell your principal right away, they usually deal with it pretty good. There's not much more you can do.
There's seeds that are planted.
Yeah. Yep, that's what I like about it, yeah.
Oh, it's interesting. I mean, you could see somebody going home and going to their dad going, Dad, how come you don't have Jesus in your... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'll take it for the good.
It's possible that when the Bible says, and a little child shall lead them,
yeah.
That would probably, maybe would be why. They're innocent, and who they are makes them a good evangelist.
Yes.
I just want to throw out the scripture where it says we are to come boldly to the throne of grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there might be a better translation than boldly, but I kind of like boldly in that situation. Not that we deserve it, but the grace is so much everything that we can, in some kind of sense, be bold, but would in other circumstances be kind of presumptuous to be coming. Ordinarily, you don't come boldly to the throne of a king. You know, you're all kind of meek and mild and respectful and, you know, whatever. But Paul says that we are to come boldly to that throne of grace. And again, not that we deserve it, but it is a throne of grace.
That would be Hebrews 4:16.
Ah.
For those at home.
Okay. Well, for those here too, but yeah. Are you getting a better translation for boldly? Is there a correct one?
Boldly is used in almost every translation. Wordsmithing is fully to the throne of our gracious God sometimes instead of boldly into the throne of grace. Gracious God or throne of grace. But
they all say boldly, huh? Okay.
Well, the New American Standard Bible says, let us approach with confidence. Approach the throne of grace with confidence.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And the Amplified says, therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace, that is, the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find His amazing grace to help us in time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. That's the Amplified.
That's good.
No, I thought of Esther. When you were saying boldly, it's Old Testament, but she had to trust God 150% because she stood to lose her life, everything. And she had to walk boldly before the king.
I love that story about Esther approaching the king.
Yeah. But there had to be a boldness in her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was bold, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had no business doing it.
No.
She really had no business doing that.
For such a time as this.
For such a time as this.
It was the time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. For such a time. That's right. Well, and we need to remember that for ourselves, for such a time.
I believe at that time she could not approach the king unless he had to ask her, so she had to present herself so that he would ask her too, which took a lot of guts.
she stood to lose everything, literally her life.
Yep.
Yeah.
I want to read the verse that precedes that. Come boldly.
Mm.
For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And then it says,
That gives us the reason why we can come boldly.
Yeah. Let us therefore come boldly.
Yeah.
Which I just sometimes tell him so often, I don't know how you did. You know, you've been tempted in everything that man has been tempted in, and you didn't give in to sin. Thank goodness.
Yeah, praise God.
We hear that. I don't know that we accept that it means what it says. But we should. You know, if it says he was tempted in all points, we ought to believe that he was tempted in all points. You
know? Let us not question what the Bible says.
That's right. That's right.
It's accepted as truth.
Yep, right. Yep, it means what it says.
So you can't say, oh, you haven't gone through what I've gone through, Jesus.
He went through more than I've gone through.
Yeah.
So can one go boldly with confidence?
Sure. If you really want it, that's something. That's a part of it. If you really want grace, come boldly with confidence. The Bible says to. because you know you did something that you don't deserve it.
Yeah.
You know?
You want grace because you need it.
Yeah. And he knows you need it.
He knows you need it.
There was one time that my wife and I were kind of chaperoning, or whatever you want to call it, a kids' camp, church camp, you know. And the minister that was heading up the church camp was talking about this subject, talking about grace, talking about, you know, receiving what we don't deserve in ourselves. And he had in his hand kind of a special t-shirt that was, connected with the camp. And he kind of referred to come and taking it. Among the kids that were there were my wife's grandnephew, who, right now he's in jail. So, but and you probably could have seen the seeds of it then at that time. We don't know the end of the story, and it sure could be a good end. But anyway, he picked up on the idea that, hey, no, you don't deserve this. But that doesn't mean you can't come and get it. So that he just got up out of his seat, walked up on the stage, took it out of the minister's hand, and walked down. And that was exactly what the minister wanted to demonstrate. That kind of bold, under ordinary circumstances, no, don't do stuff like that. That's not respectful, you know. but that was what he was looking for, someone to be bold and inappropriate and disrespectful or whatever, you know. It was a good object lesson for me. I hope it was for those other kids, too,
yeah. That
we are able to take grace in that way. You know? Kind of reminds me of the time that the blind person was hollering out for Jesus, you know, and people were telling him, shush up. All that did was make the blind guy call out louder. And Jesus responded, asked that the fellow be brought to him, and asked what he wanted. He said he wanted his sight, and the Lord provided his sight to him. But, you know, there is a, you disturb what is comfortable, or, you know, good manners, or whatever. The Lord is looking for that, disturbing good manners here on his behalf, coming boldly to the throne of grace.
There's a scripture in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. It says, in verse 4, it says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And I'm not sure where it says this, but I think it was in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the blood came out of the part of his skin.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, you know, that we're not familiar with that. But it, in here it says, resisting against sin. It don't even really give us the whole picture, but could he have resisted against sin to the point of shedding blood?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of sin?
Could have been to not do his father's will by giving himself over for a sacrifice, you know?
Yeah.
It's like I've thought of that a lot, about how could you get to the place where you'd be willing to leave the presence of your father and go into hell for eternity for the rest of the world. And but, you know, Abraham, somehow he was going to obey if he was supposed to slay his son, but I think he also, he just trusted his God to, that it would be the right thing. And I'm sure Jesus was in that place. We thought, well, maybe I will end up in hell forever. But I also know my father loves me, you know. So, you know, that's a tough one, you know. I mean, you could say, oh, yeah, I'll go through it because I know you're going to pull me out of it. But I don't think it, that was facing him. I think it was, you know, he was presented with it not having an option necessarily. It's either you do it or you don't, you know. I'm sure me, I'm years, millions of years away from that myself.
It's your feeling. It's like, you know what you know. That you know, but you can't explain it. But you feel okay about it.
Great. Sometimes you're in a trial, and it's so deep, you know you're not going to be there forever.
Mm-hmm.
But just being there at that point, sometimes you feel like, I can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that's, even though he knew he was going to be taken out, it was so strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's right. He actually told the disciples and everything that, well, you know, the third day, his temple will be raised. He said all kinds of things about he knew he was going to be, you know, but at that point, I don't think he had that.
Yeah.
You
could say things in the spirit and then forget about them later.
Yeah.
You know, you do.
So when you're in the midst of it, it's so strong sometimes. It's just,
you know,
wonder if you're
going to
make it.
God has the ability to take that away from you. Mm-hmm. And put you in that sort of vacuum.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know,
right.
See where your faith is.
Joe.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. It's faith. I mean,
yeah.
Jesus had to have faith in his Father.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, for everything that he went through. I mean, and faith and trust and love and, I mean, everything had to just be, you know. Back when I was when you were talking about boldness, okay, it kind of reminded me of the Lord's Prayer, in the sense that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you need to ask for that boldness, that what on earth is also done in heaven. And if we don't ask here,
yeah.
how are they going to hear it there?
That's right.
How about God?
God, right. So it's We need that boldness. I mean, it's very, I'm not saying it's easy. Yeah. But,
how strong is your faith?
That may have been the situation because he was praying. He says, "Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared unto him an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat were as it was great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Yeah, I've never prayed that fervently.
But it is interesting that an angel came and strengthened him, helped him out to pray that much harder so that he reached a point of intensity where he was sweating blood.
I haven't even prayed hard enough to sweat.
Say that's a
good one. Yeah, let alone blood.
Well,
but
angel can come to you and
yeah,
at least beg you work up kind of a swag.
But that really shows us who he was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And who we're not.
When he was in Gethsemane in Matthew 26:37, he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." That's how desperate he was. Mm-hmm. His soul. And that's when he said to my Father, "If it's possible, may this cup be taken from me." I don't think I've ever been to the point of death.
We've talked about this particular setting more than once.
Mm-hmm.
It seems Jesus has been given the revelation of the plan by the comments he made about the temple being restored in 3 days, and he knows. Yet, at this point, it seems like the anointing lifted off of him a little bit. And in his humanity, he's left to wrestle with this situation until he cries out. It seems strange. This particular situation is a little atypical of any other point in his ministry, save his beginning ministry with the well, with the water and the wine. I mean, it's just
we don't know what Jesus didn't know. You know,
that's right.
Who touched me?
Yeah.
I think he said, "Who touched me?" Because he wanted to know who touched him because he didn't know. I don't know.
Well, Well, or did he? Or was he trying to get that person?
He might. We don't know.
Right. Yeah, he might have been playing out if the person was going to stand up to admit that they did.
Right. Yeah.
So be healed or not be healed.
Either way, it could go either way.
Right.
I tend to think when he knows where to throw a line to catch a fish that's got a coin in it, he pretty much knows everything.
Well, he did very well on that occasion. it's consistently.
There are moments when it seems like he does not have the fullness of God.
But isn't that like God? Give us something remarkable sometimes and then just leave us in the dark other times. It just is so characteristic of the way God operates.
And it, in some ways, enhances the sacrifice that Christ made for our sins.
Yes, I think it does.
If he had the fullness and he did this, you go, well, how big a deal is that, versus if it's just him and in his flesh at that time and still makes that choice.
Right.
That ends up being a whole new kettle of fish, as I say.
That incident kind of shows us that they didn't practice social distancing.
That's right.
But was that also a boldness in that? I mean, boldness of who touched me when the disciples are like, oh, come on, 89,000 people have touched you. I mean, waiting for the boldness, God was calling that woman out to say, okay, it was me. Mm-hmm. I mean, she could have slithered off and said nothing.
Yeah.
I mean.
But she was tempted to.
Yeah.
She wanted to get away with this.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
And she was operating, because she was saying, if I could just touch his garment.
Yep.
So she was exercising her faith, and then Jesus turned around and said, now you need to declare that faith. In a way.
And 89,000 was an exaggeration.
Well, maybe I thought that was just your, that was your translation, 89,000.
But it might as well have been Susan.
Yeah. But in those cases, God had always been called. I mean, if you think about it, even with the blind man, and the disciples, hush, don't bug him. He had a boldness. He was, I don't want to be blind. Mm-hmm. And however I mean, if nobody else is going to help me, I'm calling out. Faith, boldness, trusting seems,
taking that leap and bone.
Yeah.
If that's what it takes to get this which I want, and if you can turn around and apply that to our walk.
Absolutely.
If this is what it takes for eternal life, then I am going to go after it to the point of being a nuisance.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same as when the people say, when they say it's not always the case and it should be that way, but when they ask people to come up front and receive, well, they're making a decision that all these people around me, but I don't care. This is what I want.
Right.
They go up, and then they receive. Because they're at a point in their life where they don't care about anything else anymore. This is what I need. This is for me.
Right.
Remember, I responded to an altar call thinking this was a very stupid thing to do. Really stupid.
Yeah.
I responded,
Or is this really going to work?
Yeah.
And did it work?
Yeah. Well, it kind of did. Yeah, it turned out all right.
So not so stupid after all.
No, right.
It took some back. Isn't that the way Satan works, though? He put that a little bit of doubt there. Just a little is all it takes.
A little bit of doubt.
It's funny. I actually, received the Lord into my heart at the end of a book in my house. But I know that later I responded to an altar call because I wanted
declaration.
To make that public thing known that I had given my heart to the Lord. Not bragging or anything, but in humbleness.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good thing.
I gave my heart to the Lord as a child. I was possibly in third grade or so. And it was in our church, we had a picture, a window, of Jesus holding the Lamb and knocking on the door. And I thought, who wouldn't want Jesus in their heart? And I accepted him at the time, but I had no teaching. So I would go home and I'd disobey my mother and dad or whatever, and I'm not saved. I wouldn't do this if I was saved or, you know, if I had Jesus in me. So I struggled with that until I became an adult and stepped forward in an altar call and made that final commitment, more or less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To solidify it.
Yep. But it, as a child, I know God was with me because he kept me from a lot of things and trouble I could have gotten into, but I did not because of that. But I didn't have teaching. Didn't know.
But you had an older brother. You saw the trouble he got.
Yeah, that helped too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was always thankful that I had done that as a child. Mm-hmm. Because I knew that my faith grew because of that.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like we can go with, even in our everyday walking right now, if you question something, you can ask in boldness and faith and trust. Lord, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? And, you know, wait for an answer. Because he's always going to give you one if you're sincerely seeking.
Sincerely is the word.
Sincerely seeking, yeah.
No.
A little different thought, but this is what I was thinking earlier this morning. Jesus said in the book of John, I believe, he said, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you."
Mm-hmm.
And we keep thinking, you know, well, we chose Christ, or it was our decision, but the thing is, many are called, but few are chosen. And he's the one that does the choosing. And the choosing, I didn't, why? I don't know. But I think it's kind of maybe on our attitude, our, you know, some of the choices that we do make. I don't know why he chooses. But it's given me something to think about over the years.
On the one hand, it's kind of a comfort. On the other hand, it's a little deflating.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Well, it should be.
Yeah.
We have no reason to think it's because of some good thing we did.
Love you all.